Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And even people who've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was at one of Catherine Kuhlman's meetings one time, and she got up, and there was 4,000 people in there, and all of these people were giving their testimonies about, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 20 years ago, and I've spoken tongues, and I've done this. And Catherine Kuhlman got up, and she looked at all of these preachers, and she says, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, and you haven't been full of the Holy Ghost a day since. And that's how she started her message. And I tell you what, it scared me. And I wasn't even sitting on the platform. But you know, it's true. You can't just receive the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. Yes, that's access to the power of God. But you've got to learn to cooperate. It's a daily walk. You need to become dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You need to get to where you expect the Holy Spirit to guide you every moment. And when He tells you to invest in Kmart stock and your broker says, don't do it. We ought to listen to the Holy Spirit more than men. And yet most of us are more moved by what the news has to say about this economy than we are what the Word of God has to say and the Holy Spirit has to say. Most of us are more moved by what the doctor has to say than what the Word has to say. The Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, isn't telling you anything about fear. He isn't preaching defeat to you. Man, the Holy Spirit's the power of God. Nothing bothers the Holy Spirit. Cancer's no problem. Amen. Cancer's not any harder than a cold. Somebody, oh, I can't believe you said that. It's because I've been listening to the Holy Spirit. There's no problem with these things. But see, if you listen to man, they put sicknesses in categories and certain things God could handle, other things God. This is terminal. Man, that's crazy. Philip had been preaching the gospel, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he went down and saw the entire city of Samaria, nearly to the last person, turn to the Lord. And this man Simon, he was a sorcerer, and he had beguiled the people, and he had done these things. And even Simon turned to the Lord. I mean, the whole city turned to the Lord. And so it says here in Acts chapter 8, in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, this is talking about water baptism, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Again, I made this point last night, but people who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and follow it and flow in it see miracles. People who don't believe in the Holy Spirit don't see miracles. It's just across the board. You go to any church that preaches that miracles have passed away and that they don't happen today, and I guarantee you they will not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You go to a church that believes that miracles happen today and sees them happen, and every one of them will believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues. There's no exceptions to that. People that don't believe in the Holy Spirit don't get miracles. People that do believe in the Holy Spirit do get miracles. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to connect those dots and recognize that the Holy Spirit is the key to seeing the miraculous power of God in your life. And here's Philip, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the entire city was converted because they saw the miracles and signs and wonders. In verse 14 it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now the previous verses made it very clear that they had already believed and been baptized. Later in this same chapter, I won't take time to turn over there, but Philip was led to go down into the desert, and he found the Ethiopian eunuch who was returning from Jerusalem. He was a proselyte to Judaism, and he had been worshiping in Jerusalem, and he was going down in a chariot, and he was reading the scripture. And the Lord, the Spirit, told Philip to go join himself under this man's chariot. So he just ran up and started talking to this guy, and the man said, come up into my chariot. And he says, what are you reading? And he says, I'm reading the Bible. What passage are you reading? Well, he was reading from Isaiah chapter 53, where it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, was the prophet talking about himself or of somebody else? What a setup. What a setup. One of the primo scriptures in the Bible talking about Jesus and his crucifixion. I mean, was this the Holy Spirit or what? He was in a great revival in Samaria, and the Lord said, go down into the desert and leave a revival. But it was God, the Holy Spirit, led him. See, when you're led of the Holy Spirit, supernatural luck happens. The world calls it luck or chance or circumstance, but there's no chance to it. Man, the Holy Spirit, if you will follow the Holy Spirit, he'll make you look good. And he went down and joined himself, and the guy said, who is this talking about? It's like, man, you open up a door so wide you could drive a truck through it. And he says, man, Jesus. And he told this man, this Ethiopian eunuch says, man, I believe Jesus is the Messiah. Here's water. What keeps me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may be. Water baptism does not save you. Water baptism is a result, a proof, or an action that you do to show that you've already been saved. And Philip made that very clear. If you believe with all of your heart, then you can be baptized. So now take that. This same man, Philip, was in Samaria, and he water baptized all of these people. So to be consistent with this same man, that means that he had already told them, you can't be baptized unless you're already saved, unless you've believed with your whole heart. So the fact that they believed and were baptized shows that they were already Christians. They were already born again, and yet here's Peter and John coming down praying for them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. How does that square with the theology that you've already got all of the Holy Spirit when you get born again? See, it doesn't square. The Word of God shows you that there is a second encounter with the Holy Spirit apart from salvation where power and might comes upon you. Fire comes into you. And I tell you, there are some people that just don't have any fire in them. They may be forgiven, but man, their wood is wet. There's no fire. Amen. They prayed with them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And in verse 16, it says, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And so this makes it very clear that there is a distinction between being born again and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you have been under the teaching that, well, I got all of this when I was saved, well, then it's hindering you from pursuing the Lord and receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They are not synonymous. It doesn't have to be separated by a large period of time, because look in the 10th chapter. And I'm going to summarize some of this, but in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts is where a man named Cornelius, who is a Roman centurion. And Cornelius was not a Christian, he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a part of the Jewish nation, but he was worshiping God. There's always been people outside of the Jewish nation in the Old Testament who worship God and serve God. But anyway, he was seeking God, and an angel appeared unto him and told him to send men to Joppa and inquire for Simon, and that Simon would come and tell him the words that he needed to believe to be saved. Now, this is a separate point, and I'm not going to emphasize this a lot, but I just need to point this out, that this goes all the way back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Lord said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. God only gave the authority and power to be a witness to people. Angels can't preach the gospel. They don't have that power. You have been empowered. And I can guarantee you, this angel that appeared to Cornelius knew that Jesus was the Christ, and he knew how to tell Cornelius to be saved, but he didn't. He had to send for a man. Why? Because God follows his own rules and his own regulations. He set it down. He gave us power to be authority. I mean, the authority to be witnesses. And if you are in your prayer closet praying that somebody be saved, and if you aren't witnessing to them, nothing is going to happen.
That's right.
Thank you for that thunderous silence. The church basically is not taking our authority and going out and being bold and witnessing. Instead, we're just in our prayer closet. Oh, God, save these people. Oh, God, move. God, you don't have to beg God to save somebody as if God has to be impressed. If it wasn't for the great intercessors, God wouldn't do anything. God loves people more than we love people. The Lord loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. But He has given authority, power to us to be witnesses. And you have to witness. These signs follow them that believe. You've got to go out and do something. People are in their prayer closet saying, oh God, just pour out your power. Let there be revival. You don't get revival by praying for it. You get revival by going out and acting on the Word of God. And these signs follow you. You know, in just the last 12 hours, we've seen two or three deaf people healed. We've had cancer healed. The pain left. I forget all of the other things. We had a lot of miracles last night. There was one woman down here that was jumping up and down and running in place who had come in on a scooter. And she was running and jumping and God has healed her. And we've seen miracles. And I guarantee you, people's faith have been quickened. And there is revival taking place right here. And I'm saying this in humility, admitting that it's God, but you know what? It wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have come here and had a meeting, and if these people hadn't have been praying, and if we hadn't have done something. I could have stayed in Colorado and have prayed, oh God, move in Boston, and nothing would have happened if somebody hadn't have come and have spoken the word and have taken their authority and done things. You don't have... The power of God is not released by you just getting in your prayer closet and praying. The power of God is released by you taking your authority. And this is the reason that the angel had to send for a man and bring a man to preach the gospel. Angels aren't going to do it for you.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM237 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to encourage you to call into our helpline, and you can not only get these products, which I really encourage you to do, because they'd be good for you, and it'd also be a great way for you to share these truths with someone else. So please get the products, but also these people that answer the phones are some super people, some very mature Christians. We get compliments and comments constantly from people who call in that they have never had the compassion, the love, the power of God demonstrated like through our helpline. You would really be blessed. So if this has touched you and you'd like some prayer or ministry, please call and remember to get these products.
Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.